Our next guest has been nominated for 16 Academy Awards, winning twice for Blade Runner 2049 and 1917. Few cinematographers have shaped the look and language of modern cinema as profoundly as Roger Deakins. Over the course of five decades, he has worked with some of the most influential directors of our time, bringing to life films that have become visual touchstones: The Shawshank Redemption, No Country for Old Men, Skyfall, 1917, just to name a few. In his new book, Reflections on Cinematography, Deakins steps out from behind the camera to explore the craft and curiosity that have guided his life's work. The book offers not only behind-the-scenes insights into some of the most enduring films of the past century, but also a thoughtful meditation on observation, how light, movement, and human behavior shape what we see and how we understand story. It is a great pleasure to welcome Roger Deakins to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you here.
Thank you very much. That was rather a flattering intro, I must say. Wow.
Well, you have certainly you deserve to be flattered. I'm interested in, at what point did you want to take on a project like this of looking at your career, at your work, and really give us an inside view to it?
We'd done this photo book during the pandemic. You know, my wife James here and my agent managed to get a publisher, so we published a book of my still photographs over the years. I never really had an intent to do anything about cinematography, but a publisher approached us, and you know, the idea of doing it with that sort of backing from a publisher and not have to search around for somebody to print your material and the rest of it, I thought, well, yeah, okay, why not? So, yeah.
What is it that you wanted to accomplish of through these reflections to instruct us, to entertain us, to teach us?
I don't know, really. It was probably a little bit of vanity just to talk about my own life. But no, you know what? I thought about it the other day. Why did I really want to do it? I wanted to write a book that I would have liked to have read when I was 16 years old, and that would have shown me a way into the film business, which is something I loved as a kid, but had no idea would ever be a career. So I think that was the idea, really. You know, my wife, James, and I, we've been doing this podcast for a few years now. And the idea is to give something back, you know. It started very small. It started to be about things we'd worked on and the people we'd worked with. And then it's just sort of grown. And now we speak to people that we've never met. And, you know, it's great for us. And we constantly getting people coming up to us and saying, we love your podcast. So if it serves a purpose, that's even better, really. You know, it's the best of both worlds. So it's, the book's an extension of that, really. It's the idea of just talking about the work and a career, you know.
What do you see, I guess, in an explanation of the importance of cinematography and your imprint on cinematography, of what it is that you have brought to that very important role?
I don't think that's for me to say. If somebody thinks I have brought something to it, well, it's good. You know, I've just been very lucky. I've just sort of ridden the wave, really. And sometimes the wave is cresting and sometimes it's, you know, bottoming out. And, you know, I've just been very lucky and worked with some wonderful people on some really interesting movies. So, you know, I don't know what else to say, really.
So the role, in your mind, the role, your job is as cinematographer to do what?
Well, it varies actually from project to project and from director to director. Because, you know, I've worked with some directors that say from the get-go, you know, they don't have any experience of photography or blocking a scene with a camera. So, you know, your role is probably more wider in those circumstances than it would be, say, with, Joel and Ethan, who are very, very knowledgeable about all aspects of filmmaking.
And Joel and Ethan Coen, of course, you've worked with them quite a bit, and they obviously you have to be on the same page, right? And at what point do you realize that the two of you are, or in this case, the three of you are working on basically the same playbook?
With Joel and Ethan, it happened very early, actually, on the first film on Barton Fink. We just sort of connected, I guess, and we have similar ways of looking at film. It's difficult if the first time you talk with a director, you're really trying to sense what their take is on the script, and you both read the same script, but actually you can have very different interpretations. And so, I've always felt it's very important that establish that we're both on the same page. We both see the project in the same way. And I'm always looking for somebody to collaborate. I mean, I don't really want to work on a film where I'm just doing something by rote, it's just like a formula. I mean, I don't find that interesting. I once went for an interview after I'd shot Shawshank, actually, and that had been kind of successful. And a director said, "Yeah, I really want my film to look just like Shawshank Redemption." And I thought, well, it's not the same script. It wasn't even set in a prison. So I don't quite understand what he was saying. And I didn't really want to go there because I just don't want to do it as a sort of, it's not a formula,
Throughout the book, you return to this idea that cinematography is about as much as that you exclude as what you show and you include. How did that principle for you come to be over time?
I think I've always felt that. I mean, I love still photography, and anybody see my still photographs, they're very simple. You kind of whittle down, you kind of like hone in on something that really sort of it's with the simplest elements as possible. All the films I've really loved when I was growing up and still now are kind of quite minimal, really. I think a lot of modern films throw everything at the wall. It's like a kind of overdose of eye candy. And I don't think that's good filmmaking, for one. It doesn't really emotionally move me. And I think, stripping down a script to its basic elements, then you can always add to that to embellish certain moments and certain scenes. But I think the first instance to strip everything down to it, the core idea is really, really important.
When I guess there's several ways to ask this question, but the simplest is, what do you look for in a script? What is it that you looked for, or in taking a job, of what you look for and what you're hoping for?
I mean, the same reason I'd read a novel. Sometimes I get halfway through a novel and I put it down. I mean, some things move you emotionally and other things leave you cold. So it's very much the same idea, really,
But I assume your imagination has to be sparked.
Yes, but again, any story, I mean, we all sort of gravitate to different stories and different movies and different, visual experiences, different painters, for instance, So yeah, it has to be something that actually, first off, it has to be something that affects me emotionally. The idea of the visuals is something that comes later. It was interesting when Tim Robbins approached me about doing a Dead Man Walking. I remember distinctly, he said straight off, he said, I don't really want this film to be very visual. I don't want it to be like Shawshank. I want it to be quite bland." And I thought, well, that's really interesting, because that was his take on the story. He didn't want any visuals that would interfere with what was a very clean emotional story. So I thought that his take on the script was really, really interesting and drew me in completely. So it's not about going onto a film and producing great, extravagant shots with lots of really flashy lighting. I find that really quite boring, actually. I kind of like the simplicity and something that really attaches to the emotions within something and the characters.
So you take a film like Blade Runner 2049. I mean, do you see a simplicity in that, even though it's such a in-your-face film?
Is it? I mean, yeah, I think it's very simple. I mean, it wasn't very simple to do, but I think expressively it's very, very simple. I mean, there's very simple elements, and the actual idea of it's very simple. And again, that was really interesting because when Denis said he was going to do this film, I think it was while we were shooting Sicario, but I'm sure it was. The first thing I said was, "Said you don't want me to like Jordan Cronenworth, do you? Like the original Ridley Scott film?" Because I said, "I can't do it. I don't want to do it." He said, "No, it's a film by itself. It's our film, yeah." And if you look at it, Blade Runner 2049, it's actually much, much simpler in its essence than the Blade Runner that Ridley Scott did, for instance,
Certainly. When you look at the technical challenges, though, you said it was difficult to do. What are the technical demands of a film like that?
Well, just the scale of it and the lack of money, I suppose, and the budget. And I mean, one of the big things on that, we were shooting on stages in Budapest, and just the sheer size of the stages, they weren't big enough for the concepts. So, you kind of make things work. Some of the lighting rigs, if I'd have been doing them with an endless amount of money and an endless number of people to help me, then I might have done them in a different way. But you make do with what you have and you work within the limitations of the budget and the schedule. So yeah, I mean, no, you might think a large film is easier because you've got more money and more time, but it's actually not, because you end up, it's the challenges. I mean, I think you challenge yourself, I mean, there is a way you could just walk onto a film like that and bounce a few lights off a ceiling and just shoot it, I mean, that would be kind of easy, but it wouldn't be very interesting. So you're always challenging yourself to do something that's more expressive of the moment,
I think of what a beautiful film 1917 is, and again, of what you were able to do with that. And how did you enter that and your thoughts initially, and then working on it as it went through its development?
Well, initially it was very funny because my wife James and I looked at the front page of the script and said, "This is conceived as a single shot." And we thought, "Well, that must be a joke for a start." And then just talking with Sam, and the first thing Sam said was, "If it's not going to work, we won't do it, but let's just explore it." And then we did, we spent weeks and weeks doing a storyboard of the shot, a kind of drew out a whole depiction of exactly how the story would play visually. And Sam said, "Yeah, let's not think about the technique. Let's not think about how to do it. Let's just think about where we want the camera, what we want to see in the frame, how we want the camera to move, et cetera, et cetera." So we did all that. But then he said, "Right, now you've got to figure out how we're going to do it," which was kind of nice. But we did. I mean, we worked on it. We worked on, did a lot of experimentation. We looked at all the latest technology, all the different techniques to move the camera, and
Sam Mendes, the director on that. I'm curious as to that turns into a bit of a puzzle for you, but also I would think there's a conversation that takes place of this sounds cool, but is this what's the advantage of doing this? What is the advantage of having that continual shot?
It's just that immersive kind of idea, Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite debatable whether the film would have been as strong with cuts or not. I mean, I don't know. Somebody else has got to make that film. It was just a decision because it was a very simple story and taking place in real time. that we should do it as like a single shot. And I think it is, it does have an immersive experience. And a number of people that came out of the cinema, I remember, a number of people said, came up to us and said, "Well, I didn't realize it was a single shot until the end of the movie. And then I just thought about it and thought, my God, there wasn't a single cut in it." You know, so then you kind of realize it had worked. It actually immersed those particular audience members in the story.
You've spoken about this a couple of times throughout our conversation, and I'd just like to go back on it, and that is still photography and how important that has been for you and your career. With that background in still photography, how do you believe that it has shaped how you compose the moving image?
I don't know. I think that's really hard to say because I don't really see them as the same. I mean, in a still photograph, you're trying to hint at a story. You're trying to kind of imply there's something going on behind the image. But it's all got to be done in a single frame. And obviously that's not true in film. In a way, in film, if you made the images too complicated and implied too much within them, one might kind of overpower the other, you know. So I think it's a different language, not completely, because I think there is something about light and composition for sure. But to me, I mean, actually, to me, still photography is quite a release because it's just me wandering around with my camera and I get the chance to say when I want to press the button and take a picture. No, I'm not on a schedule and I'm not, you know, other people around me, you know.
In the book, you talk about the importance of the work that you do with your wife, and your partner, James Deakins. I know she is to your immediate left, so let me ask. I can ask both of you, I guess, but of what it is like to have that collaboration and how it has formed and influenced your work over the years.
I mean, we just like being together, you know. We just like experiencing things together, you know. I think it's wonderful to have somebody to just exchange ideas with. And what do you
It's
think?
great also to know that somebody has your back with no question at all, and it means that you don't have to keep checking on things because you know the other person's taking care of that, and you can take care of this. And what I'm trying to do mostly is allow Roger to get on set and just look through the lens and focus on that and not be thinking about what we're doing next week because I'll take care of that.
Yeah, I mean, it was especially important, wasn't it, on something like 1917, which we're talking about. You know, there was Sam and I sitting, you know, doing the storyboard of the shot, and James was out there figuring out how we can transmit information sort of a quarter of a mile from the camera to the DIT tent or to Sam's monitor and everything else, you know. So there's a whole lot of issues that have to be worked out. So it's great to have a partner to be able to help doing that, you know.
It does make us a very boring couple,
Yeah,
though,
as you can tell.
because we're always talking about work. It's pretty bad.
But are you usually on the same page in the sense of if something happens, and I can't think of anything specific. Well, let's just say there's something goes wrong with a lighting setup. Like, can you, James, think of what he's thinking of before he thinks of it?
In many ways, yes.
Yeah.
And also, if something goes wrong during the shoot, the guys come to me if there's a camera problem or something, so I can decide when we tell Roger because first we look for the solution. But yeah, I mean, I've over the years sort of learned to see through his eyes. It's not that I could do what he does, but I do know what he wants and what he's looking for. So I can be the one that fights for it if there's a problem.
And I mean, it's a team. It's not just the two of us. You're working on a film as a whole team, you know, there's the key grip, the gaffer, the first assistant. There's a whole team of people that we've all worked together as a very tight unit over the years.
Has there been you've said a couple of times that's up to the someone else or the audience to decide of what is good and what is exemplary. But is there a shot or a work that you are especially proud of?
I suppose in a way I'm proud I stayed in this career, really. I mean, I'm kind of proud of that I actually managed to get through it. No, really, because I mean, I think the essence of cinematography is that it shouldn't be noticed. I mean, the audience should be watching the movie, not pretty pictures or horrible pictures or anything. They should just be engrossed. And I think if there's one trick on a film is to make something that is that nothing stands out, that it's sort of it's seamless and it's
It's also film is basically making a film is accepting compromise. You're always compromising. So right after we finish a movie, when we first see it cut, all we see is the missing things, the things we didn't get to do. And it's very hard. And about 5 years later, we might see it on the telly and we'll go,
No, not too
I
bad.
guess it wasn't that bad.
It's difficult when we do remastering, sometimes I take a film that years old now and they do a sort of HDR
HD.
transfer or something. And I'm watching, I can remember that what it was like every shot in the film. It's really hard to sort of to remaster it because I'm just thinking of all those times where I compromised.
Yeah, but we do walk out and go, that
It's
wasn't a
not too
bad
bad.
film.
I mean, you're not going to walk out, right? You're not going to walk out if you're not happy with it, right?
No.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it is every time. I mean, I learned that absolutely straight away that as soon as you pick up a camera, in some way, you're compromised. The shot is never exactly what you
But
hoped it would
that's
be.
one of
But,
the appeals of still photography
right, because
because you decide,
it's my
one
it's
person.
only my fault then.
It's only your fault.
Yeah.
So, what is when you finish a project like this? So, what is next for you?
I don't know really. I mean, the film industry is changing no end, right? I mean, it's a very interesting time. I'm honestly just feel blessed to have had the career I've had and being able to work as a cinematographer, in that particular time of the film industry, Now I don't know. I'm working on another book of still photographs, actually.
Have you worked on any films that have not come out yet?
No,
No.
our last film we worked on was Empire of Light, which was a while ago now.
Yep. And
We've been working on the book,
yeah. Yeah. I assume people still come to you and say, "Would you like, are you interested in this?"
We do read scripts, and there just hasn't been anything that particularly drew us into it. And we were also working on the book and having made commitments to hit certain deadlines, so it was kind of difficult to.
Yeah, so we sort of, we don't rule out the idea anymore.
The book is beautiful, and it's so detailed, and well, of course, the photography is gorgeous, the setup of it is gorgeous, and it's so in depth, and I wasn't expecting the emotional connection to it quite like it delivered.
Oh, that's
No,
nice.
thank you for saying that. Yeah, I mean, it was difficult really because I'm not sure if the publisher, when they first approached us, wanted like a Hollywood tell-all. I don't know, but I felt it didn't want to be that for sure.
Yep.
It wanted to be reminiscences, and I thought then it would be interesting to people just for me to say where I started and how I got into the business. And then I didn't want it to be a textbook, but on the other hand, I thought it important to go into particular films and particular challenges, as a cinematographer. So, I mean, it was hard to figure the balance, and it was hard to figure what stays in and what went out. I mean, there's so many stories that are not in there, So, yeah.
The name of the new book is Reflections on Cinematography. Roger and James Deakins, I thank you so much for talking to us, to being here, and for a gorgeous book and for all of the years of gorgeous work. Thank you so much for spending time.
Thank you so
Thank
much. It's
you.
been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you so much. The new book is Reflections on Cinematography. It is published by Grand Central. Sir Roger Deakins was our guest, along with his wife and creative partner, James Deakins. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.